What's missing from your forecast there, Craig?
Snow.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
And you know, even when it snows within our county, sometimes you say it could be snowing where you are or not where you are. And that's just within our small area here in Lorain County. Imagine if you were able to look at the entire planet during a winter time to see when it snows. And I guess because it's winter at different points around, it's always winter somewhere on this planet, I guess. But somebody who can help us answer some of those questions and is NASA scientist Dr. Matt Riddell, who joins us this morning. Good morning, Matt.
Hi, thanks for having me. That's a great intro.
Let's talk about that. First of all, can your satellites see snow falling from up in space?
Yeah, so NASA has a fleet of about 18 Earth-observing satellites, and one of those is called the Global Precipitation Measurement Mission, or GPM. It launched about 3 years ago, and it's actually able to measure falling rain and snow layer by layer through a storm as it's heading towards the Earth. And these measurements are valuable for improving weather forecasts and for predicting the amount of snowfall or rainfall. What we've seen is that what's really great about GPM is like you said, snowfall and rainfall, they're highly variable, both locally and across the country and in time. And GPM, along with several other satellites that sort of contribute to the bigger picture of snowfall and rainfall, are able to give us global maps of snow and rain that we've never had before. And you can imagine, you couldn't possibly do this on the ground with rain gauges.
I assume these satellites are above the clouds that give us the rain and snow. How can they see the rain and snow?
Well, they're using microwave observations. So you think of your microwave oven. It has little microwaves, which is a wavelength of light. And actually, we can use measurements of microwaves that naturally emitted from rain and snow and from other things on the ground. We can measure those from space from an altitude of about 300, 400 miles above the Earth. We can measure those microwave emissions and actually use those to estimate the amount of rain or snowfall. And it turns out that those go right through clouds, so clouds are not an issue.
What does this do for us short-term, and then what is it sort of its use long-term, I guess?
Well, short-term, like I said, this is valuable for weather prediction as well as better understanding and predicting water availability. So, where it snows or rains a lot, you're going to be able to fill up your reservoirs, your snowpack. All of these things are extremely valuable for, obviously, water resources. We all need to drink water, but then, our agriculture is heavily dependent on water for irrigation. So we need to have better and more accurate maps of where the rain and snow are falling. In terms of the longer term, what we're trying to do is build up a long-term record of precipitation and see how it may be changing in response to climate change.
What does more recently, year to year, what have we seen from this year, where we are, Northeast Ohio, our winter has been kind of mild, really not a lot. My snow shovel has hardly been used. what does that compare to other years? What do you see so far?
Well, as you know, I mean, this has been a mild year. I'm in Maryland. It's been mild for us as well. I bought a snow thrower this year and hasn't been used once. And I'm planning to go skiing tomorrow, and it's going to be in the low 60s, so not ideal weather for that. But last year we got a lot of snow, and then several years ago we had snow Scylla and Snowmageddon, and these things are highly variable and, as you know, very difficult to predict. But one of the interesting things we've seen from our snow maps that we have from space observations is out in the Sierra Nevada mountains that are on the border of California and Nevada. In those mountains, 2 years ago, their snowpack was only a quarter of normal, so an extremely light snowpack. Last year was about normal. This year, they have about 180% of normal, so huge snowpack in the Sierra Nevadas. And that's very consequential for California, which has been in an extended drought you know, up until the past month or so, where they've gotten a lot of rain and snow. And that snowpack in the mountains is going to be critical for, again, providing water that the farmers need to irrigate their crops and for replenishing aquifers and that sort of thing.
Do you look at climate change as a long process? I ask because you mentioned the drastic change in the snowpacks just within 2 years.
Oh, yeah. You can't attribute that to climate change. The sort of short-term variability, that's just a natural process. In order to understand climate change, you really have to look at the long period and look at the statistics. Analogy for that is, you remember the steroid era in baseball, right? So all of a sudden, all these players had batting average and slugging percentages that went way up, and you couldn't, if one of these guys hit a home run, you couldn't say he hit that home run because of steroids. But if you look at his slugging percentage going up from, by 200 points from 1 year to the next, that's probably due to steroids. And the same sort of thing with climate change, right? So one event or one season, we can't attribute that to climate change, but it's the longer-term, bigger averages that are going to change over time.
We're talking today with NASA scientist Dr. Matt Riddell about snow from space. When NASA is documenting this, is it still images, or does it work through video? Can you see developments? How do the images play into what you kind of look at and determine and get information from?
Well, sure. So the images are really big data files, and they're sort of like snapshots over time. But you can put those snapshots together if you can animate them, like you said. So we have some pretty fantastic animations that you can see. If you go to one of the NASA websites, there are a lot of good visuals. A good one we have right now going is the snow.nasa.gov website, which talks a bit about what NASA is doing for snow remote sensing. But certainly, like you said, an individual snapshot is one thing, but when you put it together with a bunch of other data points or data fields, then you can really start to see how things are changing, and it becomes quite a bit more interesting.
Well, it sounds like it's a lot to think about, and we think of NASA looking out to the heavens, not sort of looking back at Earth, but obviously with the satellites out there, they have a lot of use for this. Again, if people want to find out about what's happening with the snow, with the images, or other things with NASA, where's a good place for them to get some of that information?
Yeah, so they should go to, again, snow.nasa.gov is a great place to start. And if you go there, you can learn about a field experiment that's going on right now in Colorado called the SNOWX field experiment. And the aim of SNOWX is that while NASA's been able to map snow cover from space for decades, so snow cover, just where there's snow, where there's not snow, what we really like to be able to do is measure snow depth, which is important for forecasting river flows and water resources availability and that sort of thing. And at the SNOWX campaign happening in Colorado, there are many scientists testing advanced airborne instruments that could eventually be put on satellite platforms for global snow depth monitoring, even for measuring snow and ice on other planets or moons potentially.
Sounds great. Well, we appreciate your time and sharing some of the insight into this winter weather. And I guess we don't mind seeing snow from space as long as it's not in our driveway. That's sometimes, right? Not my backyard,
right?
kind of thing. But, well, good luck on your ski trip this week, by the way. So,
thanks. Yeah, I hope it's not too slushy.
Take it easy. Thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it. That is Dr. Matt Riddell, who is with a NASA scientist over at the Goddard Space Center there in Maryland, joining us this morning talking about that. Craig, I like that. Was it?